This week is Parshas Bishalach, which begins on page 366. Good. Welcome back. Okay. So the of course the Bishalach starts off where Bo ends, which is in the middle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Well, actually, not exactly. Bo had a little bit of an interlude talking about Kadesh Li V'Hayakiv Yacha, which we're not, of course, talking about tonight. But basically, Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, leaving Egypt. So the first question that he asks is, "Vayhi b'shalach paro esa'am." What do you mean, "b'shalach paro esa'am"? Why don't you say, look at the beginning of the Ksav HaKabal here, "Lo amar b'tseis Yisrael mi'mitzrayim." Why doesn't it say when the Jews left Egypt, when Israel left Egypt, "V'lo nacham Elohim"? So why are you giving so much credit to Paro? So he says, "Yira shahodi enu." It's showing that God's will actually came to be. What was God's will? Bishalach Paro. That Paro should say, in other words, that's just what the emphasis is about. You can talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim all you want, but the fact of the matter is that look, if God wanted them to leave, they could have left at any time. I mean, but it had to come from Paro. That's the emphasis on Bishalach Paro. Shahuach Paro, Lotzias Ben Israel, Yatzar, Lechiru Salam, Ulechovshis Hanitzchis. Paro is the one who had to get them to that point. Kifim Chuvam B'Milas Bishalach, Bishin, Pesucha, Udegusha, Salamid, Shum, and Akavet. I'm not getting into all the grammar, Billy. You can figure that out for yourself. Laharos al Shluchim Agamurim Achalutim. But basically, it's just to show that Paro was a Shaliach of the Rabbanu Shalom. He was sent by God. This was his job, and he had to come to that point where he was in agreement. And that was the whole point of the Makos. The point of the Makos was for Paro to get to the point of, in his Bechira Chofshis, that he should get to, that he should let them leave. Okay, that's the emphasis on Bishalach Paro. What was the concern? So God did not send them, Lo nacham Elohim derech eretz plishtim kikarovu. He didn't have them go up the border, right along the Mediterranean Sea. The eretz plishtim is through the Gaza area, where Gaza is on the map. So God did not have them go that way, even though it was closer. That maybe something's going to happen, and they're going to want to go back to Egypt if they see a war. So we saw this in towards the end of the book of Bereishis. We saw the word pen a number of times. Now, most of you were not here at that class. So what's pen? What is pen? So he, in his view, pen introduces an undesired outcome. Right, because what's the difference between pen? What was the other one? Ulai. His view. I mentioned that there was another view that pen sometimes introduces something which we don't want to happen anyway. But that's essentially the point here is that God did not want them to have an excuse to go back to Egypt. Okay, so I didn't want to read that inside, but that's what he essentially focuses on with the word pen. Okay, now, when we read along, we get to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So the Torah describes for us how the people traveled, and not just how the people traveled, but the circumstances under which they were traveling. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'Hashem olech lifnehem yomam be'amud anan l'anchosam aderech. And Hashem is holech. What does holech mean?
Traveling.
I mean, it literally means walking. Oh, Hashem holech lifnehem. That's very strange. That's very anthropomorphic. Since God is walking, yomam, in the daytime, be'amud anan, in a pillar of cloud, l'anchosam aderech. So l'anchosam is a similar, it's the same shorish, as the word we had at the beginning, lo nacham Elohim, so lan chosam aderech, what, to guide them, v'layla bi'amud eish la'ir lahem, and in the nighttime, I assume that Hashem holech is, goes back on that. In the nighttime, bi'amud eish, in a pillar of fire, la'ir lahem, to illuminate for them, l'alech es yamam v'layla, so that they could travel in the daytime and in the nighttime. Lo yamish amud ha'anon yomam, v'amud eish layla lifne'am. The pillar of cloud doesn't go away during the daytime, and the pillar of night doesn't go away in the nighttime. Lifnei'am, which presumably means milifnei'am, right, from in front of the people. Okay, so here's the first question is, what is this Hashem Holech business? Hashem Holech? How could Hashem walk? Hashem Holech. little anthropomorphic for us, no? So let's take a look. We'll look at the parts which are in bold in the page which you have in front of you. Kasav Rabba. Rabba is Rabbi Avram Ben Ezra. Ben Ezra. Yadanu ki Hashem shochein ad v'kadosh shmo v'yoshev kedem sela. We know that Hashem is shochein ad, right? Like we say on Shabbos in the davening. He's holy and he's everywhere. V'akasumi daber kan ki l'shom b'ni adam ki koach Hashem holech im Yisrael. So he says it's not Hashem, it's Koach Hashem. That's the Ibn Ezra. The strength of God is going with Israel. Okay, so that's, you know, support, that's, you know, whatever it is that they need, but it's the strength of God. Rashbam Amar, Hamalach Nikrakan B'Shem Sholcho. The Rashbam said, now we've actually seen something like this, right? We've seen this before. Where do we see this?
Hamalach HaGoel.
Right, Hamalach HaGoel Osimi Kora. He says that Malach is another name of Hashem. So here he does the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a fantastic interpretation that he had in Parshas Vayechi, in the bracha that Yaakov gives towards Ephraim and Asher. But here he says the Malach is actually given a name of Hashem. Kavanasam laharchik ha'agshama. Okay, that the and what's the point? To remove this anthropomorphic problem which we have here. V'im tamar midaber kadamehon uchetargum Yonatan ben Uziel perish milas holech lepol yotzei kamo holich. So this is, I mean, he does a lot of this grammar and all the parts which I put not in bold here, and some of the things which are in bold are examples of how the grammar and the formulation of the word is meant to be understood in a way that we don't normally look at it. Okay, lepol yotzei kamo holich. What does holich mean?
Guided.
He's guiding. Okay, domel l'shar polim shem omdim v'yotzim kamo arami oved avi. What does arami oved avi means? Ma'abid. Right, that an arami made my father or tried to destroy or made him lost. Uchmo hayotzei asadesh birish l'rabbi Ibn Ezra hamotzi. Right, hayotzei asadesh and avishana hamotzi asadesh. Like what God brings out from the field. Okay, so it means that I will lead. Okay, skip to the end. Okay, I'm on page one in the bottom of the third paragraph in the bold. This is a fascinating view. I actually saw this in another, I think it was a Netziv. I'm not sure who says this as well, but that this Amud Anan, this pillar of cloud, he says, was only meant to bring them until the sea. V'gam lo ya le'nei kol Yisrael rak lefnei anavim shebehem. And the only ones who were able to visualize it and to see it and to perceive it were the prophets among them. Ach mitfilas Moshe. When he says, I and the and your nation are going to fall, we're familiar with the part with the laning which we read on the fast days and in Parshas Kisisa, God has to make a covenant saying, I'm going to do this before your entire nation, I'm going to do wonders. From that point on, it was in front of all the Bnei Yisrael. Kakasuv ki anan Hashem l'nei kol Bnei Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem. That's at the end of Parshas Pekudei, where it talks about how the anan of God is in front of all Bnei Yisrael. So why does he say, by the way, what's the proof that the cloud may not have been there from the time of Kriyas Yamsuf? Moshe, there's enough evidence in the Torah, and I don't remember if it was in Itziv or somebody else, but there's enough evidence in the Torah that they don't have protection. Okay, I mean, vayavo Amalek, vayalach Yisrael. I mean, what do you mean? If they have protection from the cloud, what do you mean, vayavo? How could Amalek attack them? And Amalek attacks them at the very end of this parsha. So that's one proof. And there are other proofs as well that they are not always protected by a cloud. Okay.
The Nephilimu here is, and we will be separated or we will be distinguished.
Oh right. Okay. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, that's okay. That's correct. I'm sure when we get to it, he's going to make that point to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the last part here, just in the. No, because Sukkot. Yeah, but Sukkot is the concept that Bitzei Tamim Mitzrayim, that it's right away, even though we celebrate it in in well, I mean, it's only one opinion in the Gemara anyway. The other opinion is Sukkos Mamish. Sukkos Mamish, and the other opinion is the Anane Akavod. No, but his point is that they come back. They come back in Parshas Kisisa. So they had them with there for many years, because Kisisa is still only the first year. It's just a few months down the road. So, yeah. Anyway, so I don't think that it gets in the way of that. But that interpretation is based. Sukkos is based on the fact that there was a sukkah of God immediately when they left Egypt. Even though we celebrate Sukkos when we do. Okay. So what's the cloud? What's the purpose of the cloud? The pasuk says lanchosam haderech. Okay. So here, this is this also goes in line with the same kind of discussion. Okay, about what's going on here. With in other words, what's the role of the cloud? Amar lan chosam shum lashon minucha laharos al ofen hanhaga shemisnaheg nitzol al yado min hahefseg. That what's the point? That the cloud gives them a sense of rest. Security. Right? And security. Okay? Shelo yikadmen usata nufegara. That they are protected from all kinds of obstacles in the way, such as a satan and something which would stop them. V'nimlat mikol mechshol shayav shashikarelo, and all stumbling blocks or anything that would get in their way is basically plowed away, steamrolled. Ilu hayav munag bizulaso. Amar nachisa b'chastecha amzuga alta. Right, we have a similar word used in the Shira. Right, that the people were saved from all kind of damage. And if you just remember what he said one comment ago, he said that the cloud was there through Kriyas Yamsuf, but after Kriyas Yamsuf, after the splitting of the sea, it was gone. We're going to get to what Mehumas Mitzrayim is hopefully later tonight. Okay, skip to the next line. What? Ah, so that's what we're going to get to. Okay? So, skip to the semicolon on the next line. V'zeisa to alios anani akavod, she'gbilem kol hanamuch maderech, v'shpil akol agavod, that it basically flattened out any crevice going down or any hill that might get in the way of their, because it would make them now go up, it flattened the ground. It would strike down snakes and scorpions. That no type of weather condition would get in would bother them. So that's the point of what lan chosam is. Lan chosam is to make it easy, which is actually. Perhaps it's a little different than v'lo nacham Elohim, because v'lo nacham Elohim seemed to be that it would be a guide in one way, and he's saying that this comes from menucha, menuchas hanefesh, in a sense.
It's a different church,
right? So it is a different church. Okay, now here's right. Okay, well that's the point. So now here's where things get fascinating, because one of the challenges which we're faced with was. What was the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim? When the people leave Egypt, so what Moshe at one point in time had talked about a 3-day journey, right? There was a lot of Paro, you're going to know who God is, etc. There's a lot of that kind of discussion. No, I'm saying, no. That's the goal for Bnei Yisrael. But what was the goal in the here and now, insofar as, or vis-a-vis Egypt? Was Kriyas Yamsuf supposed to happen? Did it need to happen? Okay, right, we can have that argument. We can have that argument. Well, let me put it this way. If Egypt hadn't chased after the Bnei Israel,
they would have to come back.
Okay, well, hold on. No, let's say Egypt had said, you know what, done. You guys can go, end of story. And Egypt said, okay, you mind your business, we mind our business, and that's it. Would they have drowned?
No.
Not likely, right? Probably not. So now, here comes the question. So you have to look at the Pesukim. You have to look at the Pesukim, because you have to understand what's going on, and understand the parts of the language. So on page 368 in the Chumash, Perek Yudalet. By Daber Hashem Moshe Elimo, Hashem says to Moshe, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yashuvu, v'yachanu l'fnei piyach yiroz v'imigalon u'b'neyam. Tell Bnei Yisrael that they have to return. What does that mean? Okay, we're not going to answer that question tonight, but it's just something, like v'yashuvu seems to mean that you have to go back. V'yachanu, and they're going to encamp near Piachiros. What's Piachiros? What does some say? The Chiros is like from the word Chirus, which means freedom. Bein Migdol Ubein Hayam. Between Migdol, one place, which sounds like a tower, Ubein Hayam, and between the sea. Lifnei Baal Tzifon, opposite Baal Tzifon, which is some kind of idol. Nichos Sachanu Al Hayam. Opposite it, you're going to encamp by the sea. But Amar Paro Livnei Yisrael, and Paro is going to say, okay, again, this is God telling Moshe, Nibuchim Mehim Ba'aretz, that they are, what's
lost.
Nibuchim?
Lost.
Right, lost. Sagar Alem Amidbar, the wilderness has closed in on them. V'chizaktias Le Paro, and I'm going to strengthen Paro's heart. V'radaf Achariyem, he's going to chase. V'kavda B'Faro V'chol Chelo, and I'm going to make, what is that?
Difficult.
Okay, hey, listen. Stop translating, okay? Because the whole point of this is, what does it mean? And if you start giving an answer, you're giving an interpretation. My point is that we don't know, that it's open for interpretation. V'kavda b'faro, and I'm going to, whatever that means, with paro, v'chol chelo, v'yadu mitzrayim kin yashem. So ikavda means I could be honored. It could also mean that. Ikavda, like, I'm going to be honored with paro when they know ki ani yashem. V'yasuchein, so that's what happened. What's v'yasuchein?
And they did it.
Okay, so right, exactly. So is it that Moshe did what he was supposed to do? We saw a couple weeks ago that Vayasuchein sometimes means that Moshe and Aaron do everything that they're told. And since Aaron is Moshe's mouthpiece, so when Moshe is told to do something, they do it. Okay, fine, it doesn't matter. Vayugad l'malach Mitzrayim ki varach ha'am. Egypt, the king of Egypt is told, ki varach ha'am. Don't translate, please. Ki varach ha'am. Okay, now, I don't answer, I'm asking rhetorically. What does varach ha'am mean? Now, and who is Ha'am?
You Cleoker last year, remember?
Okay, who is Ha'am? Okay. Vayafech levav paro. So Paro's heart turns, va'avadav, and the heart of his servants, el Ha'am. To the Am. To
which Am?
Exactly, which Am. Vayomru, and they say, mazos hazinu kishilachnu es Yisrael me'avdenu. Now, if the Am always means Israel, then why do they say it's Israel? Hishilachnu is Israel me'avdenu. Okay, so does this leave open the path? Now, it's clear that sometimes that Am is obviously referring to the Bnei Israel, but is it always referring to the Bnei Israel? Okay, take a look at the next pasuk. Vayesor esrichbo v'yesamo l'kachimbo. Right, he saddles his chariot, whatever, and he takes his nation with him. Vayikach sheish me'osrechev. Okay, so there you go. Now, if you go, hold on a second, I just want to make sure that I, because I'm going to show you where the Am is clearly talking about Bnei Yisrael. Just so that you get the point. Pasuk Yigimel, just turn the page for a second. Vayomer Moshe El Ha'am Al Tira'u. Right, Moshe says to the Am, don't be afraid. See the salvation of God. Okay, so clearly the Am sometimes is Bnei Yisrael. But we're open to the idea that Am is sometimes Paro's Am. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay? I mean, clearly. Sometimes it clearly is, and sometimes it's not clear what the Am means. But maybe the perspective is that whoever's talking, maybe talking to her about his own Am. And that is a distinction which needs to be made. So now we get to the phrase Ki Baracha. Now I'm going to ask the question. What does Baracha Am mean? The nation what? What does Barach mean?
Ran away.
All right, ran away. Right? Okay, there you go. Okay. Lashon zeh kasha me'od. Take a look at the Ksav HaKabbalah. We're on page 2 on the top. Okay. Lashon zeh kasha me'od. Very difficult. Halo hu sholchom. He sent them. How can you say Barach that they ran away? They didn't run away. He sent them away. Kasher yomru b'atzman. They even say it. Ma'azos asinu kishilachnu es Yisrael. Parsha begins. Vayhibe shalach paro. Yamim. So if you want to say they weren't really intending to return after they left for 3 days, the men odalo shalo yeshuvu achrei avram b'amidbar. There are shloshim yamim. How on earth would he know? Kedayin lo nichnasuvo. Where vayeshuvu vayachanu lufnei piachiros. They're still in Egypt. They haven't even left Egypt yet.
They haven't gone 3 days.
In other words, it's 3 days into the Midbar. Midbar means wilderness. Guess what? Egypt has a border. So until you get to the border, maybe they didn't have a wall, but they had a border. So that's a modern reference. Okay, so they're at a border. So the fact is that they haven't left Egypt completely yet. They're still within the confines of whatever is defined as Egypt. So this is the point that he's making. So first of all, they're not even in the Midbar. Second of all, there are so many people, they haven't gone, there's no way that they could have gone the distance of what the definition of a Derech Shlosh Yatzim means. A 3-day journey means a distance. It doesn't mean, oh, we're out for 3 days. Okay? Anybody who travels with little kids knows, even today when you're driving, right? You know, whatever a 3-day journey with driving is, when you have little kids, and maybe some people, if they're older also, they have to go to the bathroom all the time, right? So in other words, if I'm driving in the car alone, in 3 days, I can drive from here to California. Okay? No problem. If I'm driving with my kids, in 3 days, I'm going to get to Georgia. Because every hour, I need to go to the bathroom. I'm hungry. I this. So you can imagine, with, I mean, there are millions of people here. 3-day journey, you're not getting whatever it takes to walk for three days, a normal person traveling alone. How on earth did they know that they didn't want to return? They haven't gone that far. They've only traveled the distance of one day. If you want to say that they had traveled that distance of 120 mil. Right, in other words, if you want to say that the way the Bnei Israel traveled, that, you know, they had miraculous, we have this concept of Kfitza Sederech, that somehow they were able to travel a distance because it was with God's help. Come on, Hashem Olech Lefneihem, right? You're plowing right on in a desert which has hills and crevices and whatever it may be, it's hard and valleys. But because it was flattened, that's what Hashem Olech Lefneihem Lancho Samaderech makes it easy, right? So fine. So maybe they did travel it, but still, how does Paro know what they're thinking? And if it's the case that once they got that far, Paro maybe has spies and he gets the message back, so why do you wait for 3 days? The fact of the matter is they haven't left Egypt. Okay, skip the next line. The Omar Hey Reshit Aleph, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. Okay? Biro Sam, so the Abarbanel says, Biro Sam Shishavi Yisrael Acharonis. Right, the word v'yashuvu means that they returned, they turned around, they went back, they doubled back on their steps. Zeh Moshe be'orma diber, that Moshe spoke with a slight tongue, and it wasn't his intent to bring sacrifices. Rag livro, okay. So that's the Abarbanel. Okay, it could be. V'harama amar, ki baracha am yirtzeh, barcho, b'kzeh amidbar, v'yashuvu achor, me'imas nachash sarap v'akrab, shirosham, l'chein azor v'achor. The Rama says that barchu, b'kzeh amidbar, that they ran away. It's not baracha am. It's not that they had run away from Egypt. They had left Egypt with permission. So you saw that they got to the edge of the wilderness. They see, snakes, scorpions, barach. So Paro says, hey, see, they're afraid. They wanted to go out in the wilderness. They're afraid of the wilderness. So I'm going to chase after them. Okay, so it's not that they ran away from Egypt, but because they're afraid in the wilderness, now's my time to chase and do whatever it is that Paro's going to do. But here's the part that boggles my mind. Okay, this is classic Sava Kabbal. Next line. After the period. Vilule Yuresi. Were I not afraid? What's he afraid of? He's afraid that somebody's going to read his commentary and say, you're a crumb bagel, right? How could you say such a thing? So what is he saying? If I weren't afraid, this is what I would say. That's his way of saying,
I'm not afraid.
This is what, no, it's not his way of saying I'm not afraid. It's his way of, it's what we call in English CYA. Or in Yiddish we say CYT. Cover your toes. Okay? Lulei Eresi. Hayisi Omer Kivarakan in Yano Meusar Umikushar. Me'inyan bariach. What's a bariach?
Bariach is a type of
lock.
Right. What's the bariach? In the Mishkan, the bariach is the stuff which holds the crushing together.
He gives it its shlosim.
Right. Okay. Right. That what is bariach? Me'inyan bariach. What's a regal? What's a regal? Anybody speak Yiddish here? Or German? Hame aseru mikasher adalsos.
A lock.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lock. Okay. V'zeh ki b'chanosam l'fnei apichiros l'fnei piachiros shehu amachoz asher misham yishapech yam severtoch l'shon yam aruch v'rachav anikra chiros makom ashvichu makom tzar v'lachein nikra piachiros. Now, by the way, this is a fascinating conversation, and I don't have the time to go through this because we could talk here for an hour about this, and we're not going to come up with an answer. But the question is, where does Kriyas Yam Suf take place? Where is Piachiros? What does P mean? Peyud?
Entrance.
Okay. Entrance, mouth, okay. When we talk about that word, when it's describing a geographical location, it's usually talking about something which is like a narrow kind of strait, a narrow passage. So the idea of Piachiros is that they're blocked off. And he says, if you skip to the three lines on the bottom, at the comma, or maybe go four lines to the bottom. The chashav paro sheba makom ahu. See that mean?
Yeah,
second word. The chashav paro sheba makom ahu b'nei kel yargam kulam kishachad. Now there is you have to do research, and you can find it on the internet. Find the, it's now a vacation resort. But you have to find, because the real question is, where does Kriyas Yam Suf take place? The western Yam Suf or the
eastern
Yam Suf? Which side of what we call the Sinai Desert does Kriyas Yam Suf take place? Okay, and it's not heresy to say that it's either one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not clear. You have to look at what the land area called Nueva Beach looks like. It's fascinating. Nueva, Nueiba. Okay, and if you want, I can send you a slideshow that I have. Just send me an email. Okay, but the idea that they are getting through this pass, okay, through the mountains, in order to get to this huge beach, which is large enough to hold millions of people, but they can't go back. When you think about how Egypt is blocked off from getting to them, it talks about a pillar of fire. How do they do it in the movie? Every time there's a movie, what do? So forget about, you know what, they just make the, you know, in the Ten Commandments, they make it like there's this huge pillar. But Egypt could go around that, theoretically. What do they do in the Prince of Egypt? They take this pillar, and they make the pillar go like this. So it makes a wall of fire. You can't go around a wall of fire. But that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk doesn't say there's a wall of fire. It says, hold on. Okay. But the point is that Nueva has, it's a pass. A pillar can block it to the point that the Egyptian chariots can't go around there. And if that's where they are, and there's good evidence, by the way, if that's where they are, and I don't know how the Hatzava Kabel would have known that. I doubt that he was ever there. I don't know, but I doubt it. But there's good evidence that that would be the spot, and if that is indeed where they were, for Paro to say there's nowhere for them to go, and there is nowhere for them to go once they're there, they can't run around. There's mamish stuck because it's mountains which leads off into this beach. And it's a resort now. There are hotels and nice pools and everything like that. And so you can see it on Google Maps. But just think about it being empty. And if that is the place, then there you go. And that's what he's describing here. A place where they cannot go anywhere. And that's what Baracha'am means. That they're locked in. That they're stuck. They can't go to the right or to the left. Okay, you go look up Nueva. And again, if that is the right place, then you completely get what he's saying here. That it has nothing to do with running away. It's about bariach, about being trapped. And that's why Paro gives chase. Because we don't know what Paro wanted to do. If he wanted to take them back, if he wanted to kill them. We don't know what Paro wanted to do. Did he want to push them into the sea? We just don't know. But they're locked. And so Paro, if he comes with enough soldiers, their slave mentality is going to be like, all right, Paro, take us. Or we'll do whatever you're going to do. That's bariach. Okay, next. So, last pasuk in Rishon. Vayechazek Hashem etzlei Paro vayerdov acharei bnei Yisrael bnei Yisrael yotzim biyad Ramah. What is Yad Ramah? What's Yad Ramah, everybody? What's Yad Ramah?
Powerful land.
Right, powerful land. Right? Right?
Wrong.
Okay, stop it. Okay, Yad Ramah does not mean that. What does it mean? What does it even mean? They're leaving with a powerful hand? With a mighty hand? They left already. They're already stuck. They're already at the sea. What do you mean, Yotzim Yad Ramah? Amr b'mechilta. Ma'agadikas v'shikshayu ha-mitzrim rodfim ha-krebin Yisrael, yu b'na'asim v'charfim v'gadfim. Aval Yisrael Meromim Meshabchim Benosdin Shir Shevach Gedula. That the Egyptians, when they're chasing, they're cursing, they're just being, they're blaspheming, you know, they're just the worst kind of language coming from them. And what are Bnei Israel doing? They are singing Shira Vashevach. Shir, Shevach, Gedula, Tehila, Teferes, singing songs, praise, Lamish, Hamilchama, Shalot, Tehim, to whom the battle is his. Kosh Kasuv, Ramos, Elbegronam, Vyomer, Hashem, Elokei, or Elokei, Atah, that they're just calling out to God, they're praising Him. Kimilas biyad kamo bitodah. Okay, yud dalid is from the same root, which means to give thanks. Yeah. What do you think? Why do you think the Jedi is called Yoda? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Kishorish yad araso gamkein todah shevach vihilul. So what's yad rama? Bnei Yisrael yotzim biyad rama. With great song, not with a what mighty hand? What's God in Himmel? God is a hand. God is God. God doesn't have physical form. Moshe Yado, which we're going to see at the end of the parsha, the Milchama with Amalek, we're going to see that Yad has a different translation. V'yiturgam biyad rama mit ha'hamdank. What is ha'hamdank? Mit ha'hamdank. With lots of thanks.
With lots of thanks.
With lots of thanks, right? Duncan. Luhuna osma od alinyan. Okay, so there you go. Another interpretation of Yad. Yad Rama, lots of thanks. Okay.
And they both mean, Yad means thanks, and Rama is from Aramimcha, right? From I will exalt you.
Could be. Yeah. That's a good. I don't know that he's saying it, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to. He's not focusing so much on Rama.
He's focusing on Riyadh.
Rama means great.
It's great.
Okay, so there you go. Okay. I don't know why I gave you Lotziano. I didn't want to do that one. Okay, we're going to skip to the next one because this is. Okay. All right. Here we go. Turn the page. Shlishi. We're on page 370 in the Chumash. Okay. So Egypt is giving chase. There are a bunch of people complaining to Moshe. Moshe says, don't worry, everything's going to be good. God's going to fight for you. Shlishi. Hashem says to Moshe, what are you screaming at me? There's a lot on Matitzakilai. He has a huge comment on it, which I couldn't give you. Too long. But he says here, tell Bnei Israel and they should travel. And you, Haremes Maticha, you're going to raise your staff. Unateyas yadacha al hayam, stretch your hand over the sea, uvika'ehu, and you're going to vika'ehu. Notice I didn't translate. V'yavo b'nei Yisrael, v'soch hayam b'yavasha, and b'nei Yisrael will go into the sea on dry land. Okay? What does uvika'ehu mean?
Just split it.
Split, right?
From the word bika.
Or it could be beka.
But what does bika mean?
A split in the...
No, a bik'ah means a valley.
Yeah.
A deep valley. Right, a deep valley. But that's not, but bik'ah'ehu means to be in split, means something else. So this goes back to the Nueva question, by the way. So on the topographical map of the sea at Nueva, there's a land bridge. Mm-hmm. A land bridge. Basically, it's at the height of a little lower, because it's covered with water, but there's a land bridge. The sea goes like this, like the ground under the sea. It goes like this. Here's the Nueva Beach land bridge. Okay, so the idea of the sea being split. I'm not going to say that v'hamayim lahem chomam yiminom mispolam doesn't mean that they have walls of water on both sides of them. Okay, clearly it means that the Torah talks about a wind passing through and holding up the water all night. Mm-hmm. So clearly God is here and there's something beyond, you know, anything that we can imagine going on. There are places in the world where the tide subsides and you can have a land bridge between two places, and it's a natural occurrence. But when the Torah describes v'hamayim lahem chomah, that the water is like a wall, is like a wall. So now I have to be a ksava kabbalah and say, what does chumah mean? Okay, we have to talk about that. Okay, but anyway, but that idea, so that's, that clearly, you know, is a game changer in terms of what everybody sees and what everybody experiences. But at the same time, what does bika'eyu mean? What does bika'eyu? So let's take a look. Hamishorer k'ru lashon gzeira legozeri amsuf legzarim urabasenu kriyas yamsuf. So the poet has talked about this as a splitting, right? They talk about kriyas yamsuf. Kriya, we all know, means to tear, right? It's a break. V'nir lamar shebachra Torah b'lashon b'kia, and he says the Torah used the word b'kia sheyesh lavin bo shtei kavanos. It has two meanings. One of them is like what you're saying, split. Ha'achas chalukas ha'davar. What's talin?
Talin, to split.
To split, okay.
The
ha'shenis lashon bik'ah min eretz harim uvka'os. Like land, mountains, and valleys. V'hu shem al shetach ha'amuk. V'hanamuch mishar shtachim shesivosav hu gadol b'shtachim kemidas sadeh. Hilo yamei yamsiv nechrasim l'gamrei.
He says it wasn't completely split from top to bottom, because if that's the case, how far down do you have to go? Turns it into a valley? Who knows? Now, again, I'm telling you Nueva Beach, if, you know, this is not my idea, I didn't make it up. How would I have heard of Nueva Beach? I read it somewhere. But
National Geographic's
okay.
A whole story about
okay.
It.
So the idea is that if it's not that, okay, in order to go down, like what does it see? They have to descend significantly into the down to the seabed. Kilo, one second. Kilo b'kashav v'neim rak osa achelik b'namayim shugavo alamalam and ayabasha. The part God split was only the part which was on their level. Okay, now when you see in the movie when they have to go down and to climb back up, it's impossible. They're going with chariots, rechev, everything. Like, how on earth are they going to do that? So what do they do in the movie? Leave it! Leave behind your chariot! It's broken anyway! This is God. He's taking the B'nai Yisrael out. He wants to do it in a way which they... There's no, leave it! That's not happening. Like, it's the whole time, the whole point of your leaving Egypt is you're taking all this stuff with you. You're not leaving anything behind. So he says that the part which was split I don't want to call it sea level is a different meaning, but at the level where they were. Avol me'ayo mashavim in pnei haaretz aleihem holchu bnei Yisrael. These talk about Jesus. They're walking on water. V'alzeh markan uvika'eyu. And that's why it says uvika'eyu. Shehayom shehu mitiv'o gavoa v'talul yase bik'a shetach amok vinamuch, that the sea, which is naturally on a certain level, is going to turn into an appearance of a bika, which is deep and something which they can walk onto. Betargumo, what is ma? Macha es sur ebene. I don't know what that means. That's anybody? Okay. All right. But anyway, v'kach amar. In Avosri Nasan, Amalei Moshe, Kumu Ibru. Moshe says, "Get up and cross over." Amrulun Avorachi Asya Ambika. The Fanenu. He says, "We're not crossing until the Yam is a Bika." What's a Bika?
Valley.
A valley. Now, there's one way of understanding a valley, that it's between mountains. A valley. What's another way of understanding a valley?
A little
big flat open area. Right? Think about where the Tower of Babel people, where do they go? What? They built this thing between two mountains? No, big wide open space, level. That's what Bika is. We're not crossing until it's a Bika Alfaninu. Hika Moshe Vinasa Bika Alfanihem Shanemar Baka Yom Vayavi Rain. So Moshe split the sea in a manner that it's like a Bika. And that's what Uvika'ehu means. Okay, so there's a splitting, yes, that's one. But it also, like a bika, wide open. So now, what does that mean? What does that mean about the Hamayim Lahem Chomami Minam Mismalam? That there's a walls of water where? Way over there! And the people just go straight across. It's not like, all right, everybody, into this little hallway.
wide open. And that's why it says uvka'eyu, not ugzareyu, not vikara alahem. Okay, uvka'eyu. Specifically that word because it has two meanings.
Very nice.
Nice.
It's into the large plant.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right, I'm going to skip your test. I was going to do it outside. Did they even give it to you?
But at the same time, okay.
Anything which is in italics,
case,
I was going to tell
if
you.
If that's the case, it demeans the greatness of the mitzvah because it makes it sound like it's a natural event.
No, the point is that this is the level of water, and they're walking on dry. Mm-hmm. I think it even makes it more amazing.
Maybe.
The pasuk says, "What is the pasuk here? Vayavobin Israel, pasuk tazayim, sochayam vayabasha." They're walking on dry
land. It's not that just the path.
Well, it doesn't say. See, that's the thing. It doesn't say dry land. It just says they're walking on dry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that makes it even more amazing. Okay, so there you go, and that's why for Egypt it's a very quick, it's a very quick sink. Once the dryness dissipates, they're done, they're stuck. Okay, all right. I'm not going to do your test, so we're going to move on to now pasuk of Dal. Okay. So the pasuk in Chafbeis talks at the end of Chaf Al. It says Vayibaku Amayim. That's on page 372. Smack in the middle of the page. Vayivov bnei Yisrael b'sochayam b'yavasha. Amayim lehem chomam yinam mispolam. They go into the sea on dry, and the water is a wall on the right and on the left. Vayirdefu Mitzrayim vayivov achreihem. Egypt chases after them. Kol sus paro rechbo farashav. All of Paro's horses, chariots, and what is that?
Horsemen.
El tochayam into the sea. This is in the morning. God does a hashkafa. Sorry. Towards the camp of Egypt with a pillar of fire and cloud. You have two words here that are going to trouble us. One is vayashkef, and one is vayohom. Okay, now. When you look at this word vayashkev Hashem al machane Mitzrayim, that Hashem is vayashkev. What does it mean to you? Right, right. Look, right. Hashkafa means to look. Right. That's what Avram does at the Sodom. Avram looks at Sodom. Vayashkev. Right, right, right.
Wrong.
Okay. Vayashkev. So let's take a look at vayashkev. Yivarshu loshen riyah v'habata. Everybody says that. What does vayashkev mean? To see, to look. But it doesn't follow. What, God's looking? Vayashkef Hashem al mechanei Mitzrayim? Who's God's looking? It's just like Avram looks at Sodom. Okay. God's looking? V'yishom shetamo hera Hashem al mechanei Mitzrayim ufakach es enehem. That God shows Egypt and opens their eyes. Remember, what did we say before about the Amud Eishav Anan? Who could see them? Only the prophets.
Only the Nevi'im.
Only the Nevi'im. And what does Egypt? Right, I remember the Prince of Egypt. It's fantastic. They have the pillar of fire. They have this wall of fire. And then when it's time for the Egyptians to give chase, the fire subsides, and then Egypt sees the splitting of the sea, and it's great the way they do this. All the Egyptians go. And because it is fantastic. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But he's saying that, I mean, not that he's saying that's what it is, but the point is that their eyes get opened to see something which they couldn't see before. Ubirosamosam, and when they see it, Nivhaluma od begavra hamahuma beinehem. What's mahuma? Wonder. Okay, so they're when they see it, they're just blown away. Vilinir. He says that we know that the Amud Esh, the pillar of fire and clouds, serve to punish the Egyptians. He says Gachalei Eshu Barad with some kind of fire and hail, and he quotes Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel. Skip to the comma. Nuchal Paresh Vayashkef is Lashon Chavata. That Vayashkef, what's Chavata? Right, it's a beating. Yeah. Kitargum Chabura Mashkofe. The translation of of chabura, what's chabura? It's a kind of hitting. Is mashkofe shadufos kadim targamo shkifun kidum, and he gives a number of examples of this point. So take a look. Skip to the. After the comma, umizem milas mashkof shu akore alyam. What's a mashkof in mezuzah language? It's the beam on the top of the of the door. Shu akore alyam shadel shukefas alav kishesogrinoso. Now, what is the door doing?
Bangs
against it when you close the door. V'yispoke es kabav targamo v'shakafinon v'yitam v'yashkef chavat v'hika amachane mitzrayim alidei amud esh v'anan. He says that the point with the amud esh and anan. Remember, what's the point of the amud esh v'anan? The pillar of fire and the pillar of clouds is supposed to serve as a protector for whom? For Bnei Israel. Well, how do you serve as a protector? Well, against the nechashim and the akravim, against the snakes and scorpions, you kill them. Well, what are you going to do against Egyptians? You're going to beat them up. And you don't need to kill them. You know why? Because that's what the water is for. But vayashkeif, so go back to the passage. Vayashkeif, Hashem, amachanei mitzrayim, bi'amud esh v'anan. But God needs these pillars to see them? God's using the pillars to beat them up.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Vayaham, continue. And this to me is also fascinating. Okay, you know, when we translate the word makos, what do we translate to be? We do ourselves a disservice. What's the translation?
The plagues.
The plagues. Now, in English, what's a plague usually?
A disease.
Right? Was there a disease in the plagues in Egypt?
Well, there was a devar as far as the
To the people.
People.
Shechin. And then makas becharos. That's it. And makas becharos wasn't even a plague. It was a. You know, clean sweep, done. And so nobody got sick, it was just dead.
Yeah.
So boils, maybe. But everything else was not a plague. It was a maka. What's a maka? It's a patch. Okay, that's what maka means. Paka means a hit. A strike. A strike against, and it wasn't always a strike against people. Right? You could say Kenan was a strike against people. But blood, frog, I mean, these are not strikes against people. They're just annoying. Very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But only the shechin is actually on your body. So he says, Vayaham. This is what Rashi says. That sometimes vayaham means illnesses. That's in Parshas Ekev, right? So what's Madvei Mitzrayim? Exactly, right? Okay, what is Madvei Mitzrayim? I don't know. So, no. It's like some kind of
illness.
Okay, that was the God's great hand that, or the power that God put against Egypt. Shira'u Yisrael vayirau. Okay, that Israel saw and they understood. They got it. Vayirau doesn't mean understand, but it means they revere. The only illness that they had in Egypt was Shechin. When the Torah skira Shechin Mitzrayim, so when the Torah talks about the boils in Egypt, the skira gamkein madvei Mitzrayim. So you have the Shechin and you have madvei Mitzrayim. Those are illness. Ukvar matzanu lashon humam gam ala kilyon vashchasa achaloni hamamuni. That what does the word hammam mean? What's kilyon and hashchasa?
Destruction and...
Yeah, destruction.
Annihilation?
Destruction. So up until I saw this Ksav HaKabbalah, to me, Vayaham always was like, and he confused. And what, how does the article translate? He confounded the camp of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, but we know that it also means destruction. And one which we're more familiar with. What did Haman write in his decree? Lihumam ula abdam. Okay, that's the next quote. Bakfulim... I don't know what this is. I'm Neche. What is it? Ayin Vav Mishtavim? I'm not sure what that is. Okay, I don't know the Mishtavim. Ukvari Gil Rabbeinu Onshe Mitzrayim Shalayam Harbe Yoterim Masha Hoyalahem Mitzrayim Kamram Bagadah Mitzrayim Laku Etc. We know from the Haggadah that whenever we talk about whatever took place in Egypt, what was it at the sea was five times whatever the number was in Egypt. And there are different ways of understanding what it was in Egypt, whether it was 10, whether it was 50, etc., whether it was... Okay, and therefore, was it 4 or 5 times that number at the sea?
But the point is that he's saying that Vayaham is another word for saying beating the living daylights out of them. Okay, we saw it before. What did we see before? What was the word before? Vayashkef, that's one kind of hitting. Vayaham, and even more kind of hitting. Okay, again, and he's just proving it from what you have here. Now, the next part is also fact. I mean, yeah, I'm just, you know, this is the whole day. I'm going through this. Wow, oh my God. Okay, so what do we have next? So, turn the page 374. Vayomer Mitzrayim, Anusa Mipnei Yisrael Ki Hashem Milcham Lahem Mitzrayim. Right, this is right before the water has gone down. They're saying Hashem's fighting for them. Why? Because they're getting pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded. So they're saying there's a fight against us, and there's nothing we can do. Like, how do you fight an enemy you can't see? How do you fight the burrow that's coming down on you? How do you fight hail that's being thrown? You're out in the open. You can't do anything. So God says to Moshe to put his hand and let the water go back. And then the psukim, which we're familiar with, we say it in davening, that, right, Vayosh Pasulamit, Vayosh Hashem, Vayomahu, Esishyal B'yam B'tzrayim, right, the water has gone down on them, they're drowned or whatever. But and I actually, when I say or whatever, I'm like, yeah, were they really drowned? Vayar Yisrael B'tzrayim, Mace, Hasfas Hayom. Okay, so pay careful attention to the trap here. Vayar Yisrael, Israel saw, Es Mitzrayim. Now Mitzrayim sometimes refers to the land, sometimes refers to the people. Mace, what does mace mean?
Dies?
Dead.
Right, dead, right?
Asfas
Hayam, on the edge of the
shore of the sea.
So who's on the edge of the sea?
Is it Mace Israel or was it Mitzrayim?
The Egyptians were thrown out and the Israel saw them.
Not clear.
Not clear, right? Right? Because how do you like to think of it? That the Egyptians drown and they're done and the Jews are on the Sfas Hayam.
No, they were.
But
they could throw out.
It has to be
right.
How do you get the Jews?
Who?
How did you get the Jews?
Right. Okay, right. So maybe that gets thrown off. Okay, so let's take a look. Sfas Hayam. Targum Yonatan Vizil, Misin Velo Misin. Some dead, some not dead. Remember when it says about Rachel when she's giving birth to, or after, Binyamin was already born. But says Nafsha as her soul was leaving Kimesa because she's dead. Hold on a second. Mesa means she's dead, doesn't it? No, it means she's dying. But says Nafsha Kimesa. V'chimesa haisa, was she dead? Halo dibra im hamiyaledes. She spoke with the midwife. Ela Mesa v'lo Mesa. So she's dead, but she's not yet dead. Only mostly dead. Okay. Princess Bride reference for those who grew up in the 80s. Okay. Lefin ze ein milas meis shema tawar tud rak ben onipal sterbend. What's sterbend?
Sterbend.
Sterbend. What does that mean?
Dying.
Okay. There we go. Klamar ruo samushlachim al sfas hayam kishem gosesim lemisa. They had drowned, but guess what? People who drown, they're not necessarily dead yet. I once read a terribly tragic story about some guy who was under the water in a pool or in the ocean somewhere and was talking, went home, and died in his bed.
Oh, yeah.
Because the lungs were full, but... So, you tell me, that guy hadn't drowned at the sea? He drowned, or wherever he was. But he didn't die yet. So drowning doesn't mean dead yet. And that's the point. So Billy, he's a little more definitive than you are. He says, Sfas Hayam is not referring to Israel. Ibn Ezra, Rashbam, She Israel, Asher al-Sfas Hayam, Ruas, Atraim, Esim, Utuim, Bayam, that they saw the Egyptians drown. Since that's not what it means. The Im came, Loyal, Havsik, Tevas, Mitzrayim, Bezakev, Katan. See, Billy, I put this one in here for you.
Thank you
for coming. Okay? And he wouldn't have stopped at the word Mitzrayim, right, with the Zakev Katan, which Amavsig Yoter, Minatibcha, Sharamais. So Vayari sells Mitzrayim. How on earth can they see Mitzrayim if Mace. Egypt is in the water?
Right.
So where do they have to see Mitzrayim? Mace, Dying, Asfas Hayam. You want to change your vote?
No. I think he's right.
You agree with him. All right, there you go.
I agree.
Okay. All right, there you go. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. All right, so we get through most of this stuff.
Yeah.
But we're not done. We're not done. We'll do a little more. Okay? There's one that I have to finish with. So you know what? That's what I'm just going to do. Okay, this is all good stuff. So you can take it as you go through it. So two things that I'm going to point out to you, and then we have to read Dalet.
the part which is in bold on page 5. We must conclude that, so we're going to. Okay, so one thing I just want to point out to you is Yud Aleph. This is in the war with Amalek. The war with Amalek.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's the last page, bottom on page 5, and it's one of the last psukim in the Parsha. Okay, so in the Chumash, it's page 392. So the pasuk, and this scene is famous from Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which talks about does Moshe's hands really decide the battle? Rather, when everybody looks up and they see Moshe's hands, then they know that they pray to God, etc. So he basically asks the question: how do you know that Moshe is doing that, or how do you know that's the point here? And he says here, pasuk yidal is v'hayak asher yarim Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. And as we saw before, we saw the word Yad refers to Todah, right? One kind of prayer. And he says here the word Yad means that, but there's another kind of prayer which also has that root in it. Yud, Dal, because Yud is interchangeable with the Vav. And what's that?
Vidu?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what he says. Okay, so he says here that, yeah. Or maybe I read that wrong. Because he says Hatoda, but maybe I read it as Vada. I don't know. It could be Hatoda. But the point is that in either way you want to look at it, I think I saw. Anyway, the point is that it's tefillah that Moshe is inspiring. Kasher Yorim Moshe Yado. When he's, yeah, his hands, yes. Obviously his hands are being raised. That's what Aaron and Hur are doing. But that it's not just, hey everybody, look, my hands up, ooh, win. Hands down, lose. It's my hands are doing something. And they're serving as an inspiration for tefillah, and that's the point. He's using, in other words, but he's using the image that the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah paints for us, and saying that it's told to us in the text because the word Yad refers to tefillah. Okay, that's really the point. Okay, and the other thing that I wanted to point out, I didn't even give you what he said, but based on what he said, I was inspired to make this point. Pasuk Hey, just take a look. This is in the previous story where the people are complaining to Moshe about not having water, and so what does Moshe say? Actually, we're going to go back to what Moshe says in a second. But in Pasuk Hey, God says to Moshe, "Avor lefnei ha'am v'kachit cham mizikne Yisrael, take the elders umatecha asher ikisa bo'as ha'yor kach biyadcha v'halacha." Okay, your staff with which you struck the Yor, the river. What's the river? What's the Yor? Don't say the Yamsuf. Your staff, yeah. When did Moshe strike the Nile?
He didn't. Aaron did.
They both did.
Okay.
Did you not hear 2 weeks
ago? I was here. These both.
Okay. No, that Moshe struck the Yor. That's the pasuk, and it's clear. It's clear. Don't give me Rashi. Don't give me the. Okay. The pasuk says Moshe struck the river.
Okay.
And here's the proof. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Matachasher hikisabo, the staff with which you Moshe struck the Yor. When did Moshe strike the Yor? Makas dam. End of discussion. Okay, there's a pasuk which proves it. That's not true. It's a nice lesson in Akaras Tova. Not true. Okay. Anyway, we move on here. Okay. So here we have the story. I'm not yelling at you. I'm. Please understand. I get very passionate about this stuff. Okay. All right. So now go back to the top of page 390. Vayarev Amo Moshe. After there's no water in Rephidim. Okay, this is after the story of Mara, which actually is interesting. Oh, I didn't give that to you. Oh,
I didn't see it taken yet.
No, I should have given that to you. That's ridiculous. How did I not give that to you? You know what he says about Mara? I must have given it to you. I did give it to you. We just didn't do it. He says that Mara was called Mara and not like Marim. Because Marim implies Shimunaha Morim, rebellion. And Mara means bitter. And he says he called the place Mara not to indicate that whatever the people did wrong in complaining at that point in time was forgiven because they did tshuva real quickly. Okay, so he says if he had called it Marim, because they talk about the water as being Marim, ki Marim heim. If they had called it Marim, then it would imply that the people had been rebellious. So therefore he says, Al-Kain Kara Shema Mara. Mara means bitter. People don't look at Mara and say rebellion. They say Mara is bitter. But Marim could mean rebellious. So I just thought that was a fascinating insight in terms of the language, because the Torah describes the water there as being
bitter.
Marim. Call the place Marim. No, it's Mara because of bitter. Marim implies rebellion. Interesting. Oh. Anyway, back to this. So, Vayarev Av Moshe, Pasuk Beis, page 390. The people fight with Moshe. Vayomru, and they say, Tenu lanu mayim v'nishta, give us water so we should drink. Vayomru, Moshe mat rivun yimadi mat tenasunis Hashem. He says, what are you fighting with me? Why are you testing God? Vayitzma sham am lamayim. The people were thirsty. Vayalan am Moshe, they complained to Moshe. Vayomru, and he says, Lamazel isun, they say, sorry. By Yomer is and he, but it's referring to the people. So go back two lines in the Pesukim. You see, Vayomeru Tenu Lanu Mayim. They said. And now it's Vayomer, he, but he meaning the people. So when you see a distinction like that, what does that mean? Vayomeru means that there are different groups and different opinions. And the ones who are speaking is just one group. When it's Vayomer, it's Ki Ishechad Elevechad. Then they're singular, they're united. And they and he meaning the one united group say Lamazeli son of Mitzrayim Lahamisa Sivias Benayvias Mknay Batzama. Why were we taken out of Egypt to die here with thirst? Itzak Moshe Hashem leMor Maasel Lamazel Meados Koluni. Moshe cries out to God saying, "What am I supposed to do for this people? They're gonna stone me. Od Meados." Okay. Now I don't even want to give you my own little 2 cents on this. I want you to, you have to just hear the way he does this. Okay, it's just what a beautiful perspective. Because when you look at Moshe here, what do you think? Moshe's impatient. Moshe's really like losing his mind. Oh, Ma'adus Kaluni, they're going to kill me. Why am I even here? Right? Notice how Moshe doesn't say, God, kill me. He does that elsewhere in the Torah. He doesn't do that here. Okay? Ksava Kabbalah. This, you got to take this home to the bank. Lo Satsaka saw Atzmo. Moshe is not crying for himself. Alchis lo nu alav that they were complaining to him. Benis Yarishi is kaluhu and that he's really afraid that they're going to stone him. Kihem shalu davar shu hechrech lechay adam v'yashabelado. They're asking for something which is essential for the human existence. If you don't have water, you're going to die. You can't survive. B'chalila lo le'ever ane'mon b'chol beis Hashem she'Yisrael al Yisrael lefnei Hashem. There is no way that Moshe is going to, who is the most trustworthy Eved, you know, for the people and for God, that he's going to try to make some kind of machloikis between the Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. V'yivakesh le'orer midas hadin al Yisrael be'Yisrael Hashem Abdullah. These people are, they're dying of thirst. And so Moshe is going to bring out the midas hadin. Get them, God. Because they are in such tremendous distress. L'zeh marakasu v'yitzak Moshe el Adonoi. Moshe is calling upon God of mercy, God of Rachamim. Lo Elohim, not Elohim, which is judgment. Aval tzakaso zos hitfila leorer midas harachamim Yisrael. Moshe is trying to inspire the mida of God's mercy. Lahoshia mitzara tzimaon, to save them from the pain of their thirst. Okay? Kachamar b'sifrei, l'diya shvacho shel Moshe. What are we saying here? We're seeing the praise of Moshe. Shelo amar, that he did not say, ho'el v'ahem edayim mimim mi, eini v'akesh aliyem rachamim elev ha'itzak Moshe. Right? Since they're, Moshe's not getting praises with them. Moshe's saying, it's the opposite. Some will say, oh, you're getting mad at me? Oh, you think, so I'm not going to ask for mercy for you. What is Moshe showing? Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous patience and love for these people. The Amar, Ma'asel la'amazeh. Moshe's not saying, what am I going to do to these people? Not like that. Hodienu na b'meh arvat simaon ha'am. What does that mean? It's showing, right, how much the thirst was. Halozeh wa yoseh echrichi l'chayei adam b'tzidko b'tzadku ma'od b'tlunat sam alai. Moshe's saying they're 1,000,000,000% right. Let them nail me with everything that they could throw on me. They didn't want to kill me because they hate me. I mean, what would you do? Your family is dying, and you it's this guy's fault that you're here. Okay, and it's not that we don't hate him, but hey, Moshe. This is ridiculous, right? What are you going to do? So it's not because you hate him, but you don't even know what to do. Like, you don't know what you're going to do until you're in that situation. Moshe's not saying, oh, they're going to be killing me, like they're lining up with their stones. Moshe's just saying, like this, I don't know, it just looks like this is what's going on. This is where we're headed. Right? They have every right, basically, to stone me if they want. The shepherd has to take his sheep to a place where they can drink. You don't bring them to a place that has nothing, no water drink. The root samach kuf lamed isn't only referred to death. I don't remember that story. Stones were thrown at David, he didn't die. Usually skila means dead, but not always. Moshe is giving them he's finding a merit in their complaints, a love, and he turns it all to their merit. And Moshe accepted whatever would come to him on account of their pain and their suffering. And he made their complaints righteous in front of God. And through invoke the name of Yudke Vavke and bring out mercy, Moshe was trying to save them. And Moshe fulfilled with them, the father of all prophets, that which he was commanded. God commanded Moshe and Aaron, El Bnei Yisrael, which means basically to be the one who watches over them. Shamar Alav, Amarle, Hayodim Bnei Sarvanim Haim, Tarchanim Haim, Amanas Kain. They're difficult. That's the way it is. To have a mikablin alechem shehem mikalin eschem soklin eschem avanim, you have to accept that they're going to throw at you whatever they're going to throw at you. But don't worry, Moshe, because this is the job. Who's cut out for it, Moshe? You're cut out for it. You're cut out for it because you can take it, and I'm encouraging you and giving you a blessing. You should be able to do it. Moshe didn't say they're going to be doing it. It's like hachalata means it's definite. But rather, we could be going there. Moshe, on account of his greatness, because Moshe used this word from his lips, and he says that some wanted to have Moshe be complaining. Ayin Baraba, that's the Midrash Rabba, who be Mechilta Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Veish Lemefarshim Durachim Achirim Azeh, the Mefarshim of other ways. But I just find this to be so, so inspiring to see what it means to be a leader, see what it means to be down the Kav Zchus, to see the positives in others, and to just stand strong and tall and say, you know what? These people are really, really, really hurting. And that is something which is desperately needed today. A lot of people who complain about things, I'm talking about in general. They're hurting in some way. And that is what Moshe says, you know what? I can't address your emotions because your emotions they're real. They are what they are. I'm going to do whatever I can do. In his case, he could talk to the boss and he could say, bring out your rachamim and give us water. And that's the result which he gets. But coming from a perspective that says, They're not bad people. They're not being irrational. They're doing the best they can under the circumstances. And until we actually identify and realize what it is that we're going through, that they're going through, and it's hard to identify because we want to take Moshe's side all the time, and the people look like they're awful, and Moshe's saying no, they're not awful. They're not awful.
Did he feel, Moshe, that it was a mistake taking that road because al main and luchot it says? He really didn't guide him the right way. They couldn't find water on that.
Well, so I don't know if he's taking blame or if he's just recognizing that there's something wrong with wherever we have gone. Now, there's a lot to be read in all this stuff. What do you mean? There's water everywhere. In Mara, they couldn't find water. Refidim, there's water everywhere. But why the water here is not accessible?
He's a guy, right? And before he's a Hashem was
with him. Yeah. Okay, but the point that I wanted to bring out was Moshe's humanity and the tremendous patience that he as a leader displayed here And I, because I just found it to be extremely inspiring.